Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for kickoffs and kick-ons.
Yes, g'day once again and welcome to the Coco Show. That's right, it is kick-offs and kick-ons. It is a new dawn, a new day, a new era. And we are here to make rugby union awesome again in Australia. That is our modus operandi. And the three gentlemen that are going to be doing it with me are three of the all-time great Wallabies. Yes, indeed. 295 games between these three wankers. And I'm about to bring them in with some Tommy intros.
Ooh, I like these.
And is Tommy sitting next to us?
Tommy, can you do mind coming in just so people can see your wonderful face as I do these
and intros? And pasty legs.
Just come and sit here, Tommy, because people that follow this show know Tommy writes these wonderful intros every week. We've got Gits on the line. I think you start with Gits, but let's see how we go. The Coco Show wouldn't be the Coco Show without our three resident senile superstars, three gentlemen whose joints scream so loudly we have to turn off the effects mic. As you are well aware, we have limited financial liquidity on this show, and our share prices are well and truly in the red. So please try and give our Lehman brothers a little bit of love today on the show. The first Blake bloke to fucked it, marbles.
Oh, no.
That's the second marble.
I knew it. You owe me 50.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you took on it.
It was over Zinders.
All right. The first bloke to receive his severance check is a guy that we all know doesn't need it. He is well known for his on-field success, but he will be even more famous for using his Western Force money to buy the Brumbies. They always say it is good to put a little away for a rainy day, but in this man's world, all he knows is being liquid. I'm talking dollar bills, yo. I mean, this guy is so set up that he thought the GFC stood for Goit is financially cruising. So please put down your Blackberries and zip up your Goldman Sachs Patagucci vests. It's time to welcome our tiny titan of business, Matt Goitan Gitto.
Yeah. Wow.
What an intro. Thank you, Tommy.
Very good. Tommy, hey, the next bloke who is aimlessly loading all personal belongings into a cardboard box is a guy who got a high distinction in his business studies course after writing an essay entitled "The Way to Build a Successful Business is Long Lunching and Rosé." This man is gentle between the sheets, but a bad boy in the boardroom. He will sensually short your dividends while always having a really long option. So straighten up your tie clip and order another round of Negronis, as this fella, like a stock, always takes the stairs up and the elevator down. Please welcome the man that probably Bernie made off with your receptionist. It is the one and only Drew Biv Mitchell.
Hey.
Long option. Couldn't be more accurate.
Our last team member may be getting the sack, but will never, ever be made redundant. This man is rumored to have his fingers in multiple private equity pies. I mean, this guy is such a big deal. It is said that in 2008, he made the return that sank Bear Stearns. He has the looks, the guile, and smarts. that when he makes a deal, the Dow Jones sharts. So strap the cash to your chest, shave your co-worker's head, and take a quaalude for the road. We say be done with the Wolf of Wall Street and welcome the D-O-double-G of Sydney CBD. Put your hands together for Swoop Dog.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Nicely done, Tommy. Oh,
very man, good,
well Tom. Done. What have you got, 30 more of those up your sleeve for the year? Or?
Okay, I like what you do with the themes each week. You're doing a wonderful job. Hey, let's start with you, Goitan.
Yep.
How'd you go against Chicago, mate? Talk to us, yeah, San Diego was, Legion.
No, it was good. I played about 25 minutes started the second half. It was good. I was pretty nervous, actually, for the game. So it was I was actually really nervous. But then just because I hadn't played for so long. But after you're on the field and you start to feel comfortable again, so it was good. Got a lot of confidence out of it.
Now, I believe that you managed to cross the try line. And just I'm going to hold you there because we've actually got exclusive vision of the moment, which, hey, Drew, you used to be one of the great commentators on Stand. Can you?
I wasn't play-by-play.
No, you can be right now. Drew, talk us through this. Here we go.
Well, I mean, look, he's absolutely barking at his halfback to get in the ball early.
Oh, a little out and the back. Out the backdoor play.
He's just reloading. Look, knows where to pop up on the inside. I'm sure. There it is. Takes the contact. Mate, killing it.
Killing it's not how I'd describe it, that try. I think I just caught it before the line.
No, but it's just nicely set up. You knew where the space was. You got the boys around the corner. Then you just pulled back as a playmaker into that, let someone else take the first receiver ball and then just have an option on the inside. I love that.
Well, I knew how short they were. And if I went to first receiver, I would have had to pass it to someone else.
Yeah, right.
So I stayed on the inside to get a try.
Yeah, see, that's experience. That's what they say. Can't buy experience.
Gits. How'd you hit him between the sticks? Percentage?
Two from two, son. Not too bad. Ooh. Yeah.
And how?
I don't know what else to say there.
Well, I guess I was just trying to pump you up, mate, because you still got it. Mate, in terms of recovery, 25 minutes, I mean, it's still a solid amount. Like, I thought we'd see more ice packs on certain limbs, but, I mean, how's it been?
Yeah, no, I had a better run in. Compared to our Queenie in fourth grade. So we've been training here for a few weeks. I was actually all right. Like, the actual game was fine. It was just more, you know, you forget how bad you sleep after a game.
Yeah.
But like the night after the game, like, you know, obviously you wake up early and you can't get to sleep. So other than that, like, it's been not too bad. Body feels okay. Like I said, it was only 25 minutes. We attacked a lot of that time, so I didn't have to defend too much, which was nice.
Is that because you're so pumped up from the game you can't sleep?
No, usually because we're out on the lash. Obviously, sometimes it's adrenaline. You know, you're absolutely peaked and, you know, you've got to get yourself up. Sometimes there's, you know, pre-workout or caffeine tablets or whatever. Like, I think it's just anything, really. You just get yourself up for it emotionally, physically, and then you go out there and perform and you just can't really switch off too much. And that's why I went out, because I knew I wasn't going to go home and get a good night's sleep. So I just thought, you know what? I'll just go out. Yeah,
I'm the same after doing this show. Can't sleep.
Yeah, it's because you think of your performance and how many times you stutter.
And now you're going to replace me with Adam Peacock, apparently. Love the P-man. Hey, a big thank you to Will Hooley, who got us that vision.
Oh, yeah.
He's working over there at San Diego Legion, and he's going to send a bunch of stuff while you're there, Gits. I know you're leaving in like 3 days, but while you're playing.
Yep.
So we're
I've actually got an interview with them tomorrow. They run a podcast called the Rugby Rundown. So to get that footage, I've had to sacrifice for your voice. So just another selfless thing I'm doing.
Mate, that's what you're about. Well, Goitz, I know we put a bit of shit on each other and all that sort of stuff, but I also know, you know, going into you signing with San Diego, there's perhaps a little bit of doubt, you know, some reservations because you'd spent 2 years off. But I just want to say, mate, you just – not to get too soft and emotional, but I just think, you know, for kids watching or listening or whatever, you know, like seeing you go out there and play again, I think it's, you know, fair bit of inspiration to take from that, not just the young kids, but also guys like us, like putting yourself in an uncomfortable position. You didn't know how it was going to play out, and you still don't. Like, but, you know, getting through that first game, I thought was great. And I think, you know, for me personally, you take a lot away from that, putting yourself in that vulnerable position, but backing yourself. And I just want to say, bro, I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Beef. Yeah. It means a lot. Yeah, it was, as you know, obviously I spoke to you a fair bit before signing when it was an option, and that was the biggest out because you don't want to go out there and make an idiot of yourself as well after you played for so long. So I reckon that's why I was so nervous because I'd not played for a while at a decent level and you don't know what you're up against. Sure, at training you can do it, but it doesn't really replicate a game. So for me, that's why I was so nervous and happy just to get through 25 minutes and feel like I can compete. So, yeah, I got a lot out of it. And thank you, Beef.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.
You're not inspired to play again, are you?
No, I'm not inspired to play. But, you know, there's things like now in my I guess, new part of life and going into corporate, there's going to be that self-doubt or, you know, not sure if you can do it or whatever it is. And sometimes we shy away from those hard decisions or those hard situations because, you know, there's maybe that fear element or self-doubt or whatever. But, you know, like I like how that Giddy's just lent into it and he's put himself out there. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you do for the rest of the season.
Thank you, Murphy.
Well, you know, in many respects, we're all doing that with this venture.
Yeah.
Because Lord knows there's no money coming in. And
we're just leaning into it.
We are. And it's a gamble, but we've all decided, you know, as you said, a new chapter. We're all trying to have a crack at it. And, you know, it's going really well so far. So first week with Johnny, huge numbers, bigger than we expected. Mac Hansen, second week, even bigger. So lots of messages, lots of people saying how much they're enjoying it. People are finding us again. That nice audience we got during the World Cup, they're returning. So it's very exciting. Just a reminder, anybody you know that used to watch, just let them know that we are now Coco. Hey,
Prof, just to come in, this next one will go even bigger. This guy, he'll tell you, he's a global superstar.
Well, we have Mike Phillips coming up. There's every chance he might be listening to us right now. We're about to go to him. So the Welsh scrum half superstar and British and Irish Lions.
And he's a good sort.
Very good sort.
Is he now in the top five good sorts on this show, do you think?
He's definitely top five. he may even pip for the best silver fox on the show.
Oh, yes. You're right with that, Swoop?
I'm all right with it. I think he's got me covered.
Let the ladies decide. Send in a note. Who would you rather do, Swoop or Mike Phillips? hey, just before we get to Mike, I just want to mention the set because for those of you that have been following from the start of this year, the Coco Show.
We're building.
We are building. And last week, we were sitting on milk crates and Besser blocks. This week, we have a set. Gits, I don't know how good it looks down the line, but this is a proper set now, my friend.
Yeah, it is. It almost looks like we've got a professional setup.
Well, Appliances Online have come to the rescue. They've seen that we were destitute and that we needed a set. And they've sent us a set. They do same-day delivery. So they basically, I think they saw the show on Tuesday afternoon, we had a set.
Really?
You will notice the new rug. Obviously, Ruggy Elson
and
is no longer
with us. That's why I've got my shoes off because I just wanted to feel. I mean, obviously, there's socks on, but I just wanted to feel how soft it was.
Mate, it's a beautiful
bit of static after that rub.
I don't know.
A little bit. There we go. I will be taking the rug home to spend the time with me over the weekend, as I like to do.
Familiarise yourself.
Just to get nude on it.
Just to do your downward dog on it.
Yeah, we might do a bit of teabagging.
Twister without the mat.
So I'm excited about that. Just I need to read this.
Do they not do shelves, though?
Not yet. So if you are a bookshelf company, are there a lot of – I mean, there's too many to mention. So
what about real plants?
There's a real plant here, Swoop.
Oh,
that was
kidding.
$60.
It's fucking dying.
Yeah.
What about a cold plunge?
Oh, yeah.
You've jumped to a cold plunge.
He's always about recovery. I've been looking at those ones. Odin, if you're listening, I really like yours.
Odin, fantastic.
They're about 9,000. So,
fair dinkum. Yeah. Okay, let me do this. Appliances Online, as the name suggests, offers fridges, washing machines, and dishwashers, but they also offer mattresses, coffee machines, sinks and taps, and a whole lot more. So thank you to Appliances Online.
What don't they offer?
Oh, mate.
Come on.
What don't they offer?
How does that rug compare?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great rug, yeah.
Yeah, wait till you get here and get nude on it. It's going to be fantastic.
Can't wait.
Now, we've had the world of internet TV is funny, and often you have to, you know, reshape and rejig things. And so we've got a couple of the Waratahs boys coming on.
Yep.
Ned Hannigan and...
Fergus Lee Warner.
Yeah,
new recruit.
But they've been waylaid. The weather here in Sydney today, for those of you that love following the weather app, is dog shit.
Yeah, what about those four people who got struck by lightning at the Opera House?
Yeah, wow.
That's where you park your car.
I know. I had to walk down there an hour after. But I knew that, you know, it never strikes in the same place twice. Well, they were all four in hospital. Bloody I didn't mean to laugh then.
Or all four of them got hit.
Well, they're in the vicinity. They've been affected. I don't know.
Affected. Right.
Jeez, well, I hope they're okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Absolutely.
But anyway, that's the type of weather we're dealing with.
It is. It's crazy weather. And so as a result, the Waratahs are waylaid. But guess what? Guess who's come to the rescue? It's that handsome silver fox. So what we're going to do now, we're going to jump ahead. Normally we do this last, but we are going to do it right now. It is time now for the Six Nations summation.
What time is it there, Mike?
9:30 in the morning.
Right. You had your morning coffee?
Yeah. Dropped the kids off.
Okay, nice.
Not had a shit, just dropped them in school.
That'll be coming if you've had your coffee.
Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us. As is the way on our show, Tommy Erskine writes the intros for our guests. So if you do, bear with me. As I said, if it's insulting at all, we can find a way for you to get to Tommy. So don't worry about that. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest for you in the second. Well, it's now the first part of this podcast. In a world where halfbacks are a little angry and annoying, this bloke stood out like a sore thumb because he is tall, chilled, and also really annoying. Although he is known for his tireless work around the park and his crisp service, any and all fly halves, he is better known for his washboard abs, tropical tan lines, and Love Island-esque demeanour. This bloke has played for clubs all across Europe, but has always worn the Welsh dragon on his sleeve. He now resides in Dubai, where he has adopted the title, the Sultan of Sun, Sand, and Sexiness. He speaks his mind and doesn't blow smoke because people welcome a man that is the perfect mix of McDreamy, McSteamy, and McBloody good at footy. He may have dreams about being stuck in a lift with Angelina Jolie and Demi Moore, but for the next 40 minutes, he is stuck on this hellhole of a podcast with us. So please throw Ozempic shots away and put your tanning oil-laden hand together for Mr. Mike Phillips.
Hey.
Got there in the end, Mike.
Worldwide.
There was no insults, and I was a...
No, that was pretty nice.
I think Tommy might have a little thing for you, mate.
Yeah, he's only normal.
How are you, mate? What's
no, thanks.
Early morning thanks in Dubai. What's going on with life in Dubai these days?
Not much. Lots of golf. I got two young kids, so I'm like an Uber driver. Yeah, bit of business development stuff, but yeah, it's pretty chilled. And been here for 8 years now, so loving it.
8 years. What actually took you over there? Like, what are you doing now that you're not playing? Like, what's that sort of next part of your life look like? What's your actual job title?
A bit of everything, really. I guess after you retired, didn't know what you want to do. And so Mrs. wanted to move over here. So we met in Paris. And then, so I've had a couple of like ambassador roles, business development stuff, work with do the punditry stuff as well. I speak Welsh, so I've done a lot on SLC and covered the World Cup for 2 months. That was brilliant. So I dipped my toe in different things. Some things have worked, some things haven't worked. But yeah, just, yeah, so it's all good, pretty busy.
Nice.
Now, Mike, we are going to get into your career and all the amazing things you did, but before we do that, we just want to do a little bit of a Six Nations chat, if you're up for that. Obviously, two weeks down. Let's talk Wales, mate. How do you rate them so far?
Yeah, well, I've been kind of doing a bit of the corporate stuff, a lot of hosting, so I've been watching the games pretty much out of one eye. But the second half against Scotland was really impressive, and of course they got a young team. So, yeah, that's understandable. But, yeah, some pretty good stuff. But, yeah, it's tough to judge them, really, because the regions are going through some tough times. The WIU have had a tough couple of years. So it's an influx of youngsters in that team, and it's going to be a bit of a development couple of years. So, but some good guys coming through the system, and it's been tough, but another tough one this week out in Ireland. So, but I guess it's just about blooding the youngsters and giving them a crack.
Mikey, you know Gats pretty well. Obviously, he's been around a while. And with such a young team, what do you think his messages are or his influence is on this young squad? Like, is it a matter of that he's been around the change room for too long, or has he still got that impact that he had when he first turned up to Wales camp?
Yeah, I mean, I remember his first game in charge. He kind of quickly learned about Welsh rugby. We beat England away 2008. That was his first game and first time Wales had won up there for 20 odd years. And so we're all pretty excited. I scored the winning try at the end.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And I remember afterwards, we weren't allowed into Cardiff that night, but we stayed in the Vale. And we were having a few beers. He comes to sit next to me. I remember he goes, you could be world-class one day. And I was like, I'm already fucking world-class, mate. And I think that one comment got me about 50 caps. He loved that. But then the night went on, and it's public knowledge now, but one of the players, Shane Williams, had a few too many beers, and I don't know what happened, but actually offered him outside for a scrap.
Oh, wow.
That night, which he couldn't remember. But I never forget then, Gats on a Monday morning. Shane has to do this apology in front of everyone. And then Gats goes, guys, this is the first team I've ever coached where the backs are the fighters, the drinkers, and the shaggers. And I thought, this guy's amazing. So, but it was different times then, I guess. But yeah, I don't know what he's like now, but you know, he's got a wealth of experience. You know, I loved him. He was great for me. So we'll see how he goes.
I used to love any time that Wales did well in Six Nations and say Mike's had a good game, and it'd be about 4 in the morning generally, and you know he'd go to Twitter and you'd often start spraying the journalists or reporters every time. They say 4 out of 10. No fucking way. I was a 4 out of 10. I'm a 10 out of 10, baby.
Yeah, I only go on Twitter. You know if I'm on Twitter because I've had a few beers or I'm hungover.
Well, there was one time on Twitter where I think it might have been against Ireland. You had like a bit of a push and shove. Correct me if I'm wrong, but actually, no, it would have been against Ireland because Niall Horan from One Direction, you and him had a bit of a Twitter spat. What was that about?
Yeah, well, we got pretty much taken apart in this game, and it was just end of the game. We conceded another try, and like Rob Carney, Liam Williams, our fullback, was doing it, like getting up off the floor, and Rob Carney came in and pushed his head in the floor, and I was like 30 yards away, and just like frustrated, we got stuffed. And so I run in from 30 yards, did nothing really, just, you know, pushing, shoving nonsense. And then, but got sent off. And then we had a bit of a night out. And then in the morning, the boys are like, oh, Mike, Niall Horan's tweeted you. You better, you know, you got to respond. And I was like, oh, shit, okay. So he's called me like a bit of a, you know, a child or whatever. And so I've come back with, oh, well, why don't you come down to training then, big boy, and bring the rest of the Beatles with you? So because he's responded to that, my Twitter just blew up. I had like an extra 100,000 followers. I had abuse for a year off all of his fans. But actually, I've met him since, because I was playing in Racing with Johnny Sexton, who knew him well. And so we met up then for beers. I was on holiday in New York. He was there. And yeah, what a great guy. I mean, a lovely guy, and he's sound as hell.
What, wasn't there also another exchange or something about what if you looked as good as me, or wasn't there, was there probably a little bit more than that?
I said something like One Direction were in the Millennium Stadium and it was like 50,000. And I said, oh, when I play there's 80,000 or something like that. So there's normally
he's good on the chat.
Yeah,
I think I'm funny after a few beers.
That's why we've got them here right now.
Are you on the water? Nice.
Mike, we're going to get into it pretty deep with your career and a few stories with these boys, but the Northern Hemisphere legends, as we like to call them, they like to hear a bit of stuff about their own particular team. So do you mind if I just do a few quick questions to you and you give us some hot takes?
Questions to me?
Yeah. Yeah, well,
yeah, yeah.
You're the guest.
Yeah.
Are Ireland going to win it? are Ireland going to win it? And if so, as in, are they going to win the Grand Slam? Can anybody come close?
Yeah, I can't rap. I'm going to need tattoos. So
that's all right. You've just got six pack and just fucking amazing good looks.
I remember Alex, he did that on the bus for the Lions. And I've never met the guy before when he gets brought up the front of the bus. And he comes out with, I can't sing, but I can rap. And in my head, I'm thinking, who's this dick? Do you know what I mean? Who says that? And then he delivers this rap. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, great guy.
If you missed it last week, Alex Corbacero rapped on this show, which is what Mike's talking about.
Yeah.
And it's gone global.
It has. It's probably going to get him a record deal.
Well, Dr. Dre has already sent him a DM, is what I heard. Because you know what Dr. Dre is
actually,
like.
You're joking about this, but we met LL Cool J's DJ. He was at the owner's house after the game, and Corbs was talking to him and sent him his sample.
What, the one from last week?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, this, we could really have started something.
Yeah. We are going to be left for dead again. I can just sense it. So he's already done it on NBC today. Is that what you said? Did he mention us at all?
Well, no. So we did a couple of recordings. I'm holding the camera. I'm following him through the street. You've got blokes vacuuming their cars, like on a Sunday, and Corb's in the middle rapping about the Six Nations.
Film
clip. Yeah. We did here. We were on the lounge. We're in his backyard.
Hey, you sound like Shaggy. We did it here. We did it on the lounge. We did it on the kitchen table.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Mike, I'm going to keep trying to do this.
Keep going.
Go back to Ireland. Yeah, let's see.
Mike, England, scrappy, unattractive way of playing, but obviously got it done against Wales. Can they win the Six Nations?
England,
yeah.
No chance. No.
Fantastic. Yeah. What did you say about Ireland, Mike? Are they going to win the Grand Slam?
The depth is incredible, isn't it? I think probably, yeah, the style of attack is amazing. And the tightness in the group, you know, is just is unbelievable. So great coaching staff behind them as well. So, yeah, you'd have to say yes to that.
Mate, what about Scotland? Have they got a good win in them?
Well, I never lost to Scotland, and that's not an achievement. I don't know. They just lack a bit of mindset, don't they? They lack a bit of sort of. They've improved massively, and it'd be great if they did sort of, you know, produce some big performances and turn it around. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they lack a bit of that mindset, that edge to really get over the line.
What about our boys? Sorry, Swoop.
You're right,
man. What about our boys from the Valleys? Are we a chance of knocking off, say, I don't know, Ireland or France? Like, are we one of the big teams with the young squad?
I don't know. I just think maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the bit of an experience front five. I think, you know, I think when the shackles are off and like, we play with no structure, I think that suits the Welsh play. I think, you know, second half against Scotland, as you showed, the boys were just playing what was in front and just having a crack. And I think that's what we are. I think when we're too rigid, I don't think the boys can really, I think we're naturally sort of more rugby than, trying to sort of keep the structures. But they got nothing to lose. I mean, nobody's expecting too much. So, you know, they should be going out there just all guns blazing, enjoying it.
Italy, Mike? I think, who do you think Italy will be? Will they be?
I mean, their attack is brilliant. Their attack is amazing. They didn't get over the line in the first game. They came close against England. That would have been great for the tournament. But, it's just that lacking of discipline. And, I mean, that line kind of left them down against England. But, I mean, attack-wise, they might even beat Wales, you know what I mean?
The change in Italy in the last, say, 5 to 10 years... they're improving, yeah. Right? How long, and this is to all you four rugby people here, how long until they are genuinely pushing up that ladder? Mike?
Oh, they've improved massively, haven't they? I think the last couple of years, beating Wales in Cardiff for the first time.
They beat the Wallabies?
I think they beat South Africa a couple of years ago. Mm. I mean, if you look at the league, the domestic league, I mean, they're second currently in that league, the E, whatever you call it.
URC.
So, they're getting there. They're certainly improving and they've got the passion. It's just keeping it together, discipline-wise, for them is always an issue, isn't it?
Mate, what about France? Do you think there's like such thing as the World Cup hangover? Or like they were absolutely firing going into that World Cup. They bowed out early and then they just don't feel like – doesn't seem like they've clicked so much in the Six Nations yet.
No, they haven't. They have improved massively over the last couple of years. I mean, they played some, you know, DuPont is on fire. So yeah, I mean, they got such depth in their forwards, massive units, great style of rugby. You know, knocking over New Zealand in our first game was amazing in the World Cup. And it was a shame, really, they went out, didn't it, wasn't it? And it was a shame that Ireland went out as well, because all the fans kind of just, the buzz of the place just went down. But I think it's knocked them, yeah, massively. I thought they, I think, you know, they would have gone in there thinking they were going to win it. But yeah, they haven't seemed to have fired this campaign, no.
Would you say DuPont only really came on the scene because you retired from international rugby?
Mate, you're a better nine than him, mate.
Yeah, that's true.
No, like I said, as good as he is, if there was 15 of me against 15 of DuPont's, I win by 50 points. So
yeah, hands down.
And that's without taking conversions.
and that's what DuPont says. Do you know what I mean?
Can we get him on? Do you guys know DuPont? Sure. That's a...
Well, yeah, well, just none of us will be able to understand him except for Gitz.
Oh, very good. Subtitles will get him going. Okay, that was a pretty good Six Nations summation. Is there anything else for Mike?
No, not on Six Nations. I reckon we get on to Mike's favourite topic.
Which
Mike.
Is? Well, I want, because Mike, obviously you won it twice, right? Three times you won it? Four? Five. How many?
I was part of 2005, but I didn't actually get on the pitch, so I can't count that. But yeah, two Grand Slams and a championship.
Was that the one, the first one, was that when one of the Welsh supporters, he didn't think that you were going to do it, so he bet that he'd cut one of his nuts off or something. I remember something strange about that, the very first Grand Slam in a long time.
Yeah but that's not strange in Wales. That's just...
No, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, definitely, yeah, probably that's true, yeah.
Let's talk about that party. What's a Grand Slam party like? Because we had Mac Hansen on last week and he said he didn't remember past day three. What about for Mike Phillips?
Don't really remember any of it, to be honest. Yeah, no, it's just huge, isn't it? It's just great. Everything's it's a massive buzz, and the next day's always a good one as well. So, but yeah, don't really remember too much.
What's the town like, Cardiff? Like, because they love their rugby. So when Wales are on fire and you've won a Grand Slam, like, it'd be carnage, wouldn't it?
Well, you boys know Cardiff.
Yeah, but would you go to the same places like Revs and Tiger,
Oceana, Soda Bar?
We'd be playing you on a Saturday, and the word on the street amongst the boys was, oh, the Aussies were out in Walkabout on Thursday night. And the Welsh boys were like, oh, we've got a chance against these. They're not taking us seriously. The next thing, we're down by 30.
No, to be fair, the boys who went out on Thursday night were the ones that were touring but not playing that particular game. The ones that were playing, we were out on Tuesday night.
You should have said Friday night.
Did the Welsh and the Aussie boys party after playing against each other, or...? Did you always hang out?
Yeah,
after?
we had a good relationship with the Welsh. I actually think out of everyone, this is my opinion, in the Northern Hemisphere, minus the Mickey Mouse accent, they're probably the most similar to Aussies.
The Mickey Mouse accent. Gits, the Welsh love you, Gits.
I love them too. Mickey Mouse is my favourite cartoon.
Good save. But one thing, we used to always go to a post-game function, and in Wales, if anyone debuts in front of the function with corporates and signatories and all the teams and partners and all the rest of it, if anyone debuts, have to go up, they get presented their cap, but they also have to sing in front of everyone. But they also means if anyone that debuts are playing against Wales, they also get you up there to sing on your debut as well. Did you have to sing on your debut, Mike? Did you debut at home?
I was in Wrexham 2003 pre-World Cup. And technically, because I was trying to get into that World Cup squad, I just left the game straight after me and a couple of players. We had training sort of the next day, so technically I didn't have to debut, but I did on my 50th.
And what did you sing there?
God knows. I can't even remember. It was the most embarrassing thing ever. Ronan O'Gara got me up there. Bastard. So, yeah.
So this is normally really on a show like this when we'd go, oh, you should sing for us now. But you can tell us to get fucked, Mike, if you'd like.
Oh, you can get fucked. Yeah.
It wasn't Slow Hands from Niall Horan or something, was it?
Nah.
Mike, British and Irish Lions, obviously you're a big part of that in 2013. And let me get this right, 2009 to South Africa, 2013 to Australia. Obviously, yeah. We've got that happening down here next year. We're all very excited about it. A, will you come here along with the British and Irish Lions, do some commentary in Welsh?
Well, I'm hoping to get selected.
well, class.
I went to the gym last week. So, yeah, no, nothing's. You know, I'm not down to come yet, but open to offers.
Okay, that's good. So, if you, anybody wants Mike Phillips on their commentary team, there's an opening at Stan.
Yeah, there's only said. Or, mate, we'd love to have you. You just have to pay for your flights, accommodation, expenses, everything.
Your own seat.
What was it like? What was that British and Irish Lions tour like to Australia? Was it epic? I mean, I know there's a bit of footy played, but in terms of the tour, was it amazing?
Well, the tour itself, it started off in Dublin. We had a bit of a night out in Dublin. We rented out this pub. And I was drinking with Paul O'Connell, and this was my second tour. So I remember getting back in the bus. And I'm old school, the more experienced towards the back of the bus, and I get down to the back of the bus, I'm up to you in beers, and I look at the back of the seat, and Owen Farrell sat in the back seat. So I've gone, hey, Faz, piss off down the front. You're only here because your dad's coaching. And sat next to him was Stuart Hogg. So Hoggy was, I think he was like 20. He was the youngest player on tour. He was sat in the back seat. So I said, Hoggy, don't even know who you are, mate. Never heard of you. Pissed off down the front. And so there's a bit of edge. And Paul O'Connell, the legend that he is, he goes, hey, lads, he's only saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah, like the old wise man just like puts the nail in the coffin.
The tour for me, we played the Barbars then in Hong Kong. It was great. Scored two tries, but got injured, and then we flew to Perth. My knee sort of just was like a balloon. From that point, I was just on the back foot. I was just trying to keep fit, and sort of didn't really enjoy the sort of the tour. Really, I wasn't myself. Literally, it was just icing constantly with the physios, wasn't going out with the boys, couldn't enjoy that sort of part of it, which is a huge part of the Lions sort of setup. So yeah, for me personally, that I dug in, played the two games that we won, but wasn't my best, and sort of still a bit annoyed with it, really.
When you won that series in 2013, didn't you end up on the team bus?
I think I did.
I think Adam Swoop ended up on the team bus after you guys had won it down in Bondi or something.
Yeah, I was sat next to him on the back. He was in the back seat.
How did you end up on the team bus?
Most capped, oldest. I went straight down the back to sit with this fellow. But no, Sharpie and I somehow went to Icebergs in Bondi for, I guess, drowning the sorrows to celebrate an unsuccessful series. And we made our way down to Bucket List, and all these blokes, all the squad, the British and Irish Lions squad, were basically hamming it up out there in the outdoor area of Bondi, lapping up the sun, the locals enjoying themselves, and we obviously just kind of found our way in there. And before you knew it, we ended up on the bus, and you know what? The bus actually wasn't heading anywhere. They got us up. I think we had to make a bit of a speech up the front. I got tanned. I got slapped across the chest. Can't remember from who, but Sharpie made a really good speech. But the bus actually wasn't going anywhere in particular. I think it was just heading somewhere into the cross, which was shut. And then there was a Super League crew that was heading into Darling Harbour, which I may have been part of. So
Mike, did you meet Holiday Swoop that day?
Oh, mate, I was lost at sea myself. I think we were well oiled. I think I don't really remember too much myself.
These blokes knew how to celebrate. Let me tell you.
So do you remember playing against Mike in that series? And describe him as a player, mate. What was he? Tenacious,
good looking. we've been witness to his class for many years prior to playing for the Wallabies, and we got the opportunity to play against him. I mean, just a class around the half, very smart, very experienced, knew when to take his opportunities. But he had a big influence on the squads that he played in. He's obviously played all over Europe, played for Wales a number of times. I mean, he's quite the journeyman. And with that, you know, you pick up experience, you pick up insight. You know, he's obviously class, got to finish well. And I'm not surprised that he's still not playing, but certainly looks like
he always loved a scrap. He loved a scrap for a halfback. He was always after a scrap, anything cheap or dirty. I mean, from a competitive point of view, it didn't matter. Even when we played him at Bayonne, we were at Toulon, and Bayonne were down the bottom of the league. No thanks to Mike, he got him up. But we, if we were up by plenty, he would still be fighting, competing, scratching, niggling. He was always into it. Was that probably one of the things that you prided yourself on, like just competing, always competing?
Yeah, like Sean Edwards put a lot of emphasis on my defence and stuff. So, you know, I'm 6'3", scrum half, so I got to, you know, there's no point in me being sort of just a passer. I got to use that physical sort of side of me and help out defensive-wise, defensively, and sort of, yeah, that was a big part of my game. But, yeah, I think the niggle stuff was more about getting myself up for it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't so much about, you know, just getting my competitive juices going, really. It was more about that than sort of targeting someone, or it was more about me, really. Get me on the edge, get me fired up. And, yeah, you know, it wasn't particularly targeting sort of a key player. It was just getting my juices right up with that, because I think away from the game, I'm pretty chilled and, you know, quite laid back.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And I got the opportunity, well, not really the opportunity. They rested Greg for a certain amount of tests, and I had to start at halfback. And first start of the game, I'm going to put the ball in, and there's this prick trying to stamp my foot as I'm trying to feed the ball in every time.
Nah, that's not true.
Until we beat you by about 30.
You're still trying to stamp your foot, though.
Yeah.
No, that was class. No, I remember that game. But I first played against you on the sevens. So it'd have been like the sevens circuit. I remember you on the sevens, and we played under 21s Australia in probably 2002 or 2001, under 21s World Cup. I remember you were playing that game. And then obviously next year, then you went on to play for the national team, and which was great. So yeah, that's when I first sort of remember Gitz. And I got selected for the 2003 tour to New Zealand and Australia, which was amazing. Didn't play, but I had a 2-page spread in a program, the next big thing, and a big picture of me. I absolutely loved it. I didn't care about not playing, but then I stayed for an extra week in Coogee. And so every night I went out, I took the program with me. And anyone I particularly like, I'd just slide in front of them, like, oh, what's that? And then,
and did it work?
But yeah, went down really well.
Hey, Mike, what were
if
these?
You see, any six, you if you see any 6'3" scrum halves coming through from Coogee? Delete my number.
Well, Matt Phillips is probably a bit bigger than 6'3".
Hey, Mike, what were these three blokes to like to play against? What were their demeanours?
Oh, well, they were class. I mean, I think, you know, the Aussies in attack-wise, they were probably at that time better than anyone. You know, like it's just said, that game where they put three on us, but, you know, their forwards, great running lines, and their backs were, you know, good sort of all in sync together. Do you know what I mean? One of the toughest teams to defend against. So, you know, like South Africa, pretty simple to defend against, really. They're just going to come straight up, whereas the Aussies were, you know, far more sort of intelligent in the way they attack and difficult to sort of break down. So, yeah, and these three guys, obviously, you know, I never beat the Aussies for Wales, which was a bit of a, you know, Kimberley really close, but no, these boys were top notch, top class.
Mate, you're known for your competitive spirit and edge, and, you know, like that, you know, was evident throughout your career. Now, you finished up on 99 Welsh caps. Do you reckon you've got one more in you to get that 100?
I have, mate. Yeah, definitely. But, yeah, that was a bit, it wasn't really, it was a bit of annoying, but I don't look at it. I probably should have had more caps at the start of my career than at the end, to be honest. I think the legs are gone, and, you know, yeah, yeah, I think the fire did sort of go out, but no, I mean, I'm not really too bothered with that, to be honest.
No, of course. I think 99's a great knock, yeah.
That's a scoop. Mike Phillips out of retirement. That's fantastic. Yeah, we'll lead with that.
I reckon you just get back on the phone to Gats and say, mate, I'm still world class. Give me one more.
Yeah, he knows that.
Hey, Mike, we have a couple of Waratahs who I've just seen walk into the building, big bastards. So we better have we'll finish with you if you don't mind. What we like to do is we like to do a quiz with our guests and make you basically the subject. And I ask the other three boys questions. And then you can give the answers after and perhaps a little anecdote, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm getting paid $15,000 to be here. So.
Yeah, we're just wiring it to you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. We could sell one of these couches. Yeah. What are they worth? We'll check that out. Hey, it's time now for the Go-Go Quiz. Everybody ready? You guys ready to play this? Okay, question number one. Mike has been caught on record talking about which three famous people, dead or alive, he would like to have dinner with. Which of these options are Mike's special dinner guests? Is it A, JFK, Anthony Hopkins and George Best? B, Oprah, Donald Trump and Prince Andrew? C, Nigel Owens, Colin Chavis and Tom Jones? Or D, Adam Ashley Cooper, Matt Gitto and Drew Mitchell? Gits, I'll go to you first, mate.
I'm going to go Tom Jones.
Tom Jones, that's C. What would you like to go?
I'm going
to
go A.
A, JFK.
And George Best.
And George Best, yep. And what would you
like? Is that also with Princess Andrew?
No, that was
B. No, that was B. You want to go B?
Let's not go B. No.
You sure? let's lock in B for sweep. No.
No B.
No B.
I'll go Trumpy. That's B?
That's B. A or C?
D.
Let's go to C.
C. Okay. Would you like to say the answer there, Mike?
Well, I can't remember doing that, but it would have been something to do with George Best.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
that's what I thought.
Ding, ding, ding. The answer is A. Congratulations, Biv, out to an early lead. Question number two. Australia played Wales at the 2023 Rugby World Cup. What was the correct scoreline? A, 40-6. B, 41-10. C, 43-9. D, who cares, we'll smash Wales in July.
I'm going to go B.
B, 41-10. Gits?
I think it was 40-6.
40-6. Yeah. A, swoop.
I know, I kind of remember the Wallaby scoring a try, so I want to go 41-10.
B. Do you remember it, Mike, or do you want me to toss this one up?
Did the Aussies qualify for last World Cup? I can't remember.
Yeah, we made it through the repercharge. We're very excited. Ding, ding, ding. A, 40-6. Congratulations, yeah. Gits.
Gits. Well, I don't know if you remember. I was really pissed at that game.
No, I don't remember, mate. Well, actually, funnily enough, it was a great day for Welsh supporters, Mike. Did you celebrate after that win at the World Cup?
Yeah. Yeah, we worked pretty hard after every game, to be honest.
That's good, because obviously us Aussies were pretty upset and affected about it. And Biv, you were there. And somebody has sent in some vision. So Tom Foster and Liam Cassidy, big fans of the Wallabies and Coco fans. Obviously, you were pretty gutted about it.
Wow.
You know what? I think that might have been before the game. Well, the sun's up there.
So Mike and Gits, basically this vision of Biv twerking with a couple of Aussie fans. Yeah. Well, they're claiming it was just after the match.
Well, I'm sure the game finished at night time, because I then got into the back of a taxi's boot to get back into town 5 minutes before dialing into you guys. So it was night time.
Was that the night you slept in the sleeping bag you found in the stairwell?
I did, yeah. That was, yeah.
Wasn't it a linen closet? Or
I don't know where I found the sleeping bag, but I slept on the front doorstep of my apartment.
Right.
Very good. Okay, ding, ding, ding. Question number three. Mike is known for being one of the biggest characters in the world of rugby. However, this has sometimes gotten him into trouble. Which one of these is not something Mike has allegedly done? So he's done three, one he hasn't. A, turned up to a video session drunk. B, every time he would get a business class ticket, he would ask if he could be upgraded to world class. C, has handed out his signature to avoid getting a speeding ticket from the police. D, Mike was sat on by a bouncer outside a Cardiff McDonald's at 3 a.m.
I'm going to jump in early.
Okay.
I'm going to go B. He's never asked to be upgraded to world class because he's always been world class.
Oh. You're good, mate.
Swoop, you want to go next?
C, signature. C,
signature. Goit?
Yeah, I'm going C because I remember he did get sat on at the Maccas.
Ding, ding, ding. It is C. Congratulations. Yeah. Hey, what happened at the Maccas, Mike?
Well, funny enough, the company went through the roof after that. It was great marketing for them. there was a bit of a disagreement. That was about it. But the world-class one, so every time that we'd fly down to you boys, we'd be lucky enough to get business class tickets. And so I'd always get on there and look for the best-looking sort of stewardess and go up to her and say, oh, look, I've got an issue with my ticket here. There's a problem with my seat. And she's like, oh, no, sir, Mr. Phillips, you're, 2A, this is your seat. And I'd be like, yeah, but what's this business class? I'm world class. And it would go one or two ways. The boys would be laughing and I'd just do it every time.
And what about A, the video session? Do you want to tell that story or you want to dodge that one?
That was technically, everyone was half cut.
Yeah, I think that happens a fair bit, Prof.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Yeah, very good. Okay, question number four. When Mike was dropped from the Welsh team in 2015, he was notified of the news in a terrible way. How did Mike find out about the news? Was it A, he found out online, B, he received an email, C, he was left a voicemail, D, it was written on a sheep left at his house? Tommy. Gits.
Email
B. Online, email, voicemail, sheet.
Online.
A. Mike, what was the answer?
Email.
Oh. Nice, good.
What was the subject on the email? How did they do that, Mike? What did the email say?
Yeah, what was the header? You're dropped.
Just not. You're not getting up anymore, mate. Pissed off, basically. Yeah.
Surely it went to the junk inbox.
No, it was just WIU for you, wasn't it?
There you go. All right. Question number five. As we know now, Mike has settled in Dubai with his wife and son. He has started the Mike Phillips Rugby Academy, which is flourishing in the UAE, which is great. Which of these fun facts is not true about Dubai? So not true. The other three out of four are true about Dubai. It is a no-no to kiss in the street. That's A. B, the most expensive number plate was auctioned in Dubai for $14.5 million. C, Dubai police drive Ferraris. Or D, camels deliver you Uber Eats. It's the one that doesn't happen in Dubai.
Yeah, camels aren't delivering your Uber Eats.
So you're D?
They're not delivering Uber Eats. Can't get past that.
Okay. Gits?
Unfortunately, I'll have to get a camel as well.
Mike, what's the answer there?
What was the first couple? I think it's definitely...
Oh, no, mate, you're right. Ding, 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 D. Camels do not deliver Uber Eats. All right, hey, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. That was epic. So lovely to chat to you.
Love the show.
Go Wales, and hopefully we can catch up with you. Hopefully you get a gig for the British and Irish Lions, and we'll have you live in here with us.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. No, thanks, mate. Cheers, mate. Appreciate that.
World class.
Cheers, boys. All the best.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mike, that's a good guess. You guys were saying to me, get Mike Phillips on.
Well, he's world-class.
World-class. Didn't disappoint Gits. You said day one, get Mike on. He's our type of guy, you said.
He's right up our alley, yeah. He's world-class. We love him.
So when we come and do
Sorry about the change here in camera here. My laptop shit itself.
Oh, that's all right.
It happens.
We'll try to find a laptop sponsor as well.
When we do our live shows in Wales, Gits, later in the year in November, what do you reckon, live guest, Mike Phillips, a few yarns?
Yeah, him or Andy Powell.
Oh, Andy Powell, lovely. He's good too.
Okay. We'll line that up. Very good. Nice work. Hey, guys, the A-class guests continue to roll on. Mm-hmm. It's not just international guests. It's also folks that live nearby.
Yeah.
It's time now for this. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. Special guest. Nailed it, Hugo.
Couple of fucking big units on this couch.
A couple of big bastards. Hey, these are our first two in-studio guests as the Coco Show. And as is the way here, Tommy Erskine's written a couple of intros for these two lovely Waratah gents. Let's do this. This week, we are lucky to be joined by two of the New South Wales Waratahs in the studio. A couple of country boys done good, adding a little riff-raff to the world of rah-rah opulence. Very good, Tommy. The first bloke was born in Dubbo, and then his folks got sick of the big smoke, so moved to Coonamble. In a town that is known for its sheep and cattle, this young man was given a chance to don the cerise and blue of St. Joseph's College. At school, he thrived on the rugby pitch as well as with the ladies, being the only bloke born after 1993 to successfully rock the fuck out of a perm. Not only has he embraced the curl and the pleasure of the voluminous hair, but he has also played 79 games for the Tars and 34 games for the Green and Gold. Please welcome and give a uru to Australia's second favourite, Ned Hannigan.
Uru.
I don't know whether they're saying that or not. Thanks, Charles.
Welcome. All right, here we go. This second fella.
Good luck.
was born short. In the delectable town of Scone. And not dissimilar to the name of his birthplace, he is a sweet treat best consumed with jam and cream. After a stint in the Wild Wild West, he was forced to make a decision, see what you did there, yeah, to either stay in the City of Lights or move to a country that does not see the light for almost a year. Very good. So off to England he went, but after his first team financially failed, like this podcast is about to do, he moved to a town named after the one thing English people hate taking the most, Bath. There you goes, our English audience. Great work, mate. Yeah.
Well done, Tom.
Nice work. And the pundits showered him with praise. But in 2024, this hunk of a man is coming home to play for the Tars. So please put your hands together for a man that is totally glamorous and is simply Fergalicious. He's, of course, new recruit Fergus Lee Warner.
Yeah.
Cheers,
guys.
Fergalicious.
Fergalicious. Welcome, gentlemen. What do you think of the couch? It's brand new.
It's good. Out of freedom? Is it freedom or?
Mate.
Banking you.
Freedom.
Appliances online.
Yeah.
So any furniture
pull
you
out.
Need.
Pull out. You sleepy? Yeah. Pull out.
We don't.
It's Hugo a bit early does. In the pod to pull out.
What does that mean?
Hard to say.
Hugo sleeps here when his missus hates him. So most nights, Hugo. Three nights a week. Hey, welcome, gents. How are the Tars looking pre-season? Who wants to go here first? Ned, are you
I'll
fired?
Go. Everyone's pumped up. It's pre-season. Everyone's pretty confident. I think, you know, we've done the work and things like that. Just everyone pretty keen to get into round one. And it's a bit of a thriller too, up at Suncorp against the arch enemy. So, no, we're all pretty excited.
When you go through pre-season, everyone gets bigger, everyone gets stronger. But who's really bulked up over preseason, like in a good way? Like who's looking good? Like who's come back?
Like who's come back? Yeah. Heavy,
probably slackers.
Slackers. He's put a grunt on the top end.
He's filled out his sleeves.
Okay. What about you boys? You come back after the holiday break in good nick, or
just put the shirt in the dryers for longer, mate? Just let him shrink up a little bit.
Tell lies. I actually came back from the UK a bit lighter and light and pasty. And I roll into the Tars and DC's like, Jesus, Ferg, like, what are you weighing? And I was like, oh, 109? Like, And he's like, I need you to be 114. And I was like, I'll get there by like round one. Don't worry. And like, he had a crisis meeting with me and everything about it. And I was like, it's okay. Like, I've been playing over there. Like, the blokes are a lot bigger over there. So anyway.
So what do you do? I'm back up there now. So you just eat whatever you want to get the one.
Yeah, what type of muscle? What's those 5 kilos? Does he want muscle or he just doesn't give?
I don't think he really cares.
Just he just wants your 114.
Well, my first analogy was just, I just got 3 Domino's pizzas and just smoked them. Yeah. And then I was like, this probably isn't going to work for the long term. So then I did sort of ran it in a bit, but.
Where are you at now?
I'm 114 now, so it's
good. Oh, you're there. You've hit it.
Yeah. Same as you, Swoop.
Where's CC at, boys? What's his weight? How's he weighing in? He's really heavy.
He's got gout. at the moment. He's limping around real bad.
Has he?
I think too much tomato. Can you get stuff to get rid of that? He got a sore foot though.
Yeah, right.
Full limp. I thought he'd done a meniscus or something. He said, nah, mate, just gout.
How do you get gout?
Too much tomato. Too much tomato, I think.
Or corn meat,
I think.
Is that right?
Tomato. Yeah.
What? No, it's spiced rum.
Acidic foods.
What was it, Giz?
It's spiced rum. He just sips that through his teeth. You see him like that Sid from Ice Age. That's what he looks like.
I love the fact that DC is a big fan of this show.
Does he watch this?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. Quite the two, Bob, actually.
When DC. These boys won the title for the Giltinis, Swoop, you FaceTime me from your urinal at Vegas. And at the time, Darren came up and got his arms around you and gave a big hug and got into the picture of the FaceTime, and he was wearing a t-shirt with Sid from Ice Age.
Yeah,
I've got a screenshot which I could share, but it's got Swoop's hammer in it.
Definitely share it.
Definitely took up most of the photo.
Oh, of course it did.
Well, let's do a little bit of Super Rugby chat just before we, get into who you actually are, like the good stuff. This is just ticking a few boxes. So how good was the promo for Super Rugby Pacific? I don't know if you've seen this, guys. If you haven't seen it, get online, have a look on YouTube. I've seen a lot of promos for sporting season starting. I haven't seen any better than this. It's the whole idea that you got – it's underwater, right? And
It's the power of the Pacific, right?
Yeah. You're in the Pacific Ocean. And did you go – you didn't get asked to be in it, boys, or swim?
I'm surprised they didn't even ask the Marquees to go, but they didn't get us there.
Could you guys do like maybe your own version, like in a dam where you just can't see anything?
Yeah. It's just leeches and yabbies.
Looks like you're in chalky milk.
Yeah, I reckon Alan's face on that does it for me. I reckon it's so good. If you haven't seen it, just look for Alan diving in. Gives you a good stare down.
It looks a bit computerized though, in a way.
Like, I wouldn't say that. I think it's perfect. Yeah, it's a bit computerized. Yeah. So. I think they cut corners on the CGI is what we're saying, Fergus. No, it's very good. Make sure you have a look. So very exciting. Season starts this weekend. You guys up against your old foes, the Reds. Have you taken a good look at the Reds lineup? Have you found a few holes? Who's a bit shit there?
Well, I mean, you boys, you played a trial against them. Yeah. Yeah, already. So, like, what can you take from that? They were pretty good in that trial. What can you guys take from that? Or were you holding anything back? Or
we probably need to pull our finger out a bit.
Yeah, need to get into it. No, I think it's trials, right? You don't want to show everything. Yeah, you can definitely look at – they've got a new coaching staff on, so some stuff with or teams that they've coached beforehand, you might be able to get a bit of an idea. But I know it's the cliche, but, we've come off two sort of pretty slow starts of trials, and we think a fair bit of it was our own doing. So we're kind of definitely, putting the blowtorch on a few fellas, just in amongst us and making sure we rock up.
From trials, obviously, you don't want to give too much away, but it's always a good indicator from where you're at. And you guys have had a pretty good pre-season. I don't know about you, Ned. I think you've timed it perfectly to get back for round one, right?
Is that a bit of a tight hemi?
Yeah, that's experience. I texted a couple of boys today to dig up a little bit of dirt on you, and they're all pretty filthy about your timing. But anyway, mate, we respect that. I mean, it's something that we consider that experience.
Yeah, it is
self-managed.
What were the main messages from the trials, and what's something that you guys are focusing on going into round one?
Yeah, well, again, I didn't play the trials, but speed of ball is a big one. Like, there's a fair bit of rule change around how long things are, quick in the scrums up, when ball goes out, how fast he's coming back in. So making sure we're staying with the tempo of the game and then the physicality side of the game, particularly in a game like this. Any game, but you know, Queensland, New South Wales has got that potency about it, so a bit more venom in the stuff on the ground and things like that. So, yeah, a bit of that is what we're focusing on.
Lots of big games over the weekend in Super Rugby. So you guys take on the Reds. Then you got the Rebels and the Brumbies. They're also playing each other. And then the Force are taking on the Hurricanes, all five Aussie teams running out there. Drew, you know this inside out. Rebels-Brumbies. Who's going to win that, mate?
Look, Brumbies obviously coming off, you know, pretty solid season last season. But I also, like the Rebels, let's take away from the position they're in and all the news and the headlines that they've been taking up in the last couple of weeks. But they've recruited really well. Like Taniela, Salakai Loto, you know, they've got some good players. Darby Lancaster's going to be down there as well. Like they, across the board, I think they've recruited really well. And, you know, they're a team that had been building for a number of seasons. And last year they started to attack a little bit more and be a bit more of an attacking threat against opposition defences. And so I think the smart money would be on the Brumbies because they're just so clinical at what they do. Set piece, they're strong. But they've also got the outside backs now to really attack from anywhere. But I don't know. I think, you know, also with their backs against the wall, the Rebels, you know, with all the stuff that everyone's been talking about in recent weeks, I think maybe I could see – early in the season, I think maybe the Rebels can come in and maybe steal one against the Brums.
Have you, obviously, Gits, you are one of the all-time great Brumbies, arguably the greatest. Have you been speaking to them down in Canberra? Obviously, they run most plays past you.
Yeah. So I've ticked off the game plan. And I think we'll dust the Rebels pretty easily. Drew's well off the mark.
And Swoop, obviously, sorry,
to be fair, I haven't really been across too much what's going on Super Rugby, other than you know the bad stories. So it's good that the rugby's starting off, and then we can actually start talking about the footy and the players.
Now the Force obviously taking on the Hurricanes. All the chat around the Force is that they've done the best recruitment. Some big names going over there: Ben Donaldson, Nick White. Do you think it's just a bunch of hype, guys? Let's get it from the Waratahs. Are you watching?
Were you a former Force player yourself?
Yeah, the old Band-Aid fix.
Like it.
They'll be right. Like everyone recruits every year, and I mean they've got some good players there, so it'll be good to see how they go.
One thing I will say is when we were over in Perth for the Sevens a few weekends ago, speaking to Simon Cron, the coach who's just re-signed, so that's good news for them. I just like what he's doing over there in terms of trying to bring them together. I mean, again, for me personally, also being a former Force player, you're really isolated over there because there's not too many players coming through from WA. So a lot of the players there, most of the majority of the players are from the East Coast. So it's also really important that your teammates also become your support network as well. So they're doing a lot to make sure they really come together off the field. Also just even chatting to Rishan Passatoa, the young 10, who's had a troubling time with injuries previously, but he's in good shape. And he just pulled me aside and just asked some really good questions as well. As a young player that's going to have to go out there in a position to lead the team around, just asking some really poignant questions around I walked away just going really impressed by him. I think he's a great player with a lot of skill, but to like be in that position as a young fella also where you're going to have to be in a leadership position regardless of your age or experience, I think they've got some good players and it'll be, again, how quickly they can gel together and buy into what Simon Cron's trying to implement there.
Just off that, you talk about like the Force doing some things away from the field for bonding. What about DC, Sid? Has he, what's he had you boys doing? Getting the team together? Because he had some funky stuff for us in LA.
We went on a camp down to Wollongong. We did like a sort of a talent show it was. We got him put into groups. We sung like a Fijian hymn. Some of the boys did like a skit. It was actually pretty funny. And what he's done is we're in groups. So there's like four different groups. There's the Warabras, the Red Dogs, the Silencers and the Clappers, and we're all competing to get a box at a Storm Roosters game, I think. Boys are pretty toughy to get in there and run amok. So we're fighting hard, and at the moment the Red Dogs, which is my team, we're sitting pretty on top.
So it's like round robin. So it's a number of talent.
Yeah, you do all sorts of stuff.
It's rigged. Because they, yeah, you know, like, some points, you know, that's 3 points and it shouldn't be. And, you know, just at the end, it'll just be half a point to the winner. And,
right. So yeah, it's bullshit. Just,
yeah.
Just yeah. Mario Kart, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Is it DC rubbish. That's yeah. deciding?
Yeah. Like, well,
someone's getting the bullet at the end and just
we were sitting. We were sitting with 22 points, like, pretty. And then the clappers or the silences were on, like, 11. And then he just comes in one day and he's like, build a pepper aeroplane and whoever goes the furthest gets, like, 3 points. And then, obviously, the silences are saying through the first and they came up and then it was everyone sit in your chair in the auditorium and throw a scrunched up bit of paper into a bin.
Milk crate, yeah.
Milk crate with your team name on it and the team that got the most, like, came up. So, like, we got there on skill and then these people yeah. just get in for, on yeah. shit
So
games.
The scale of the point distribution is just not there.
Yeah.
Have you
yeah.
guys been doing any, like, tackling or any?
Nah. Just games. Just games. Just nah. building paper airplanes. Yeah,
no, fair enough. That's all good. I'm sure you'll go great. Surely DC's just going
to... No, to be fair, don't hang him out like that.
No, I hung him out. They're
Gits,
done.
Gits asked the question about things that bring of you together,
course,
right?
Of course. I mean, no, I'm taking
sounds this. Like the four teams are against each other. Some way, it's you've got to bring them back together.
No, fair enough. Hey, let's race through these other games and then we can get into yeah, some sure. nitty-gritty. So, obviously, grand final replay, Chiefs Crusaders on Friday night. That's the first game up. To kick off the Super Rugby season. Pretty hot there. Have you been watching those two teams? Are they out in front, boys? You can just say no.
Nah, yeah. Well, Crusaders went overseas. Mm. Who did they play when? Munster. Bristol yeah, and Munster.
Yeah.
Bit of a new look.
Yeah.
Bit of a new look, yeah. Bit of a new look. Rob Penny, obviously, in there at head coach. So, yeah, it'll be still Crusader footy, but it'll be a bit of a different look in comparison to last year. Chiefs, yeah, they're playing pretty good.
Did you play under Rob at the Waratahs?
I did, yep.
So you've had one pretty confident there. You'll beat the Crusaders now.
Hard to say. No, we might have the upper hand.
Oh, there you go. For all you people with a gambling problem, listen to that. Saturday, we've obviously got Rebels and Brumbies on yep. the Friday, and then we've got the Force and the Hurricanes, so we've covered Saturday Blues and the Fijian Ndrua, which is very exciting. Now, Fiji, all seven home games this year in Fiji, which is massive for them. And if Fiji Airways or Fiji Tourism are watching, we are open to coming over there and covering all seven games. Is that right, boys?
Fiji and Drua.
Drua.
Of course, Drua.
Oh,
not, it's not about me. But
well, and the Fijian people just warm to you so much during that yeah. World Cup.
Well, no, I think we've... Broken bread.
Drunk Carla. You did. So that's fantastic. And then Highlanders, Moana Pacifica, that's on Saturday as well. And then obviously, hey, the big event, Reds Waratahs, which is very exciting on Saturday night. So make sure you watch all of that. And we're also very excited about the Super W that is only a few weeks away. That kicks off on the 15th of March, the Force take on the Rebels in Perth. And then on the 16th of March, you've got the Waratahs and the Brumbies in Sydney. And the 17th of March, you've got the Reds and the Drua in Brisbane. Hey, very exciting. Drew, Super W about to start.
I mean, last year, there was, across the Super W competition, there's a lot of young girls that you know, really just made their mark on that level of footy. Remember Caitlin House? She's the young fullback for the Waratahs. She was amazing. I think she was going to school through the week.
16, 17.
Yeah, yeah. And then going and yeah. playing on the weekends. Killing and it. She was absolutely outstanding. So I'm sure there's going to be another couple of players that really, really hit their mark on the Super W competition this year. But, I mean, that competition's getting stronger and stronger each year.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Make sure you get around the Super W. Now, obviously, the Wallabies. Bit of chat around that. There's a doco coming out. I don't want to, as I said a couple of weeks ago, spoil the ending, but I think we all know what happened.
That's not funny. Come on.
Now, there's a little article today in one of the newspapers. I don't know. Basically, Eddie apparently pulled James Slipper aside. There's a little tease that's come out for the doco series. And Eddie's decided that the problem with the Wallabies post that Wales defeat was we've got no hardness about us. He was saying this to James, who's obviously playing. Like, you know, game hardness is different than any sort of other hardness when you just stick in the fucking game and do it. Eddie continues, we're not tough, but we're not trained to be tough now, and we're not used to playing tough. Eddie continues, like, it's an exception to play tough now rather than the normal. It stands out like dog's balls, mate. So I guess, Ned, do you want to comment? You were in the system. Obviously, you were in the training camps with Eddie early on.
Yeah.
Feel free to dodge this one if you'd like.
Nah, bugger it. I think I'll just talk on what I would say, like, to Slips. I reckon he's a pretty tough player. Like, how he plays the game, his diligence around training, how he gets his body ready. I'd call him, like, a tough player. I don't know whether Eddie was not calling him that or whether he's alluding to something, you know, that he wanted to drive. But, whenever I've played with Slips, played against Slips, he's one of those players that is a tough player. So hearing that sort of...
I think he was saying that because there's only that in the Northern Hemisphere they play 30 games a year, whereas down here it's 16 or 17.
Yeah. Yep.
That the Aussie rugby players aren't as tough. Now, the five of you are all Aussie rugby players. Are you as tough as Northern Hemisphere players?
Well, I suppose you've got one of the sides that we play week in, week out, made the World Cup final. So if they're playing us for 16 rounds and they can go up into a World Cup and knock off some pretty good sides to get there. I know they, you know, came up short, but that definitely, when I saw them go through into the final, I'm like, well, we're playing quality, you know, like that's who we're playing week in, week out, and so that's got to stand for something.
I mean, just on Slips, I mean, you don't get to forward World Cups playing in that position he does without being resilient and tough. So, you know, that. Fucking mind.
I don't think he was saying it to Slips. He was just in general commenting to Slips.
Certainly insinuating
about the system.
Yeah. Slips, if you're watching, mate, we love you. Big sex. but I guess over our experiences, and I don't know what you think, Drew, but you know, playing over in Europe, understanding how that season's work. Yeah, there's 30 games in the year, or you're playing 11 months of the year, but it's you have to adapt because it starts off. You start off in the summer, it's fast football, and then you go over those winter months. It becomes a real grind and more of a wrestle set piece oriented. But here in Super Rugby, the speed and the force is much greater. So those collisions are bigger, harder, and tougher. And I think that, you know, for 18 rounds, it's basically a sprint to put yourself in the finals. So I think. The football here in Super Rugby is much different to the Premiership. I'm not saying it's better quality or whatever it is, but it's in terms of the pace of the game and the collisions because it's at greater speed. It's for me, a tougher game to play.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm just going to talk to this documentary that's coming out. Like, obviously, there's been plenty that's happened since the World Cup, since filming stopped and whatever, and they've gone into the editing room and all of that. I think my, I don't know, gut feel is that viewers will go away from this having empathy and getting around the playing squad a lot more than where we're at the moment. I just think that it will see what type of show that was being run by Eddie at the time and some of the things that was going on. And I think that it'll probably highlight a little bit as to, you know, just players, you know, maybe a little bit of ambiguity, maybe just the way that his approach to different things or to players. I think a lot of viewers, this is just my gut feel, is that we'll come away from it having a bit more empathy and a bit more understanding as to how it could have got to where it ended up getting.
I think so, which is important. And which brings us to the next step, which is Joe Schmidt. So I guess, Ned, are you excited about Joe's appointment? The steps that, you know, the Wallabies are taking to go to that next level?
Yeah, bloody oath. Needed to be a bit of a change, and he's come in and don't know him from a bar of soap, but, you know, we know where he's been and a bit of his background. And, has come with, you know, Noosa Foro, who I know he knows pretty well, and then Horn. So they've sort of come a bit together and they've had success at what they've done, you know, in the past. So, I'm a goer.
Well, here's some exciting news. So on this show,
Is he a listener?
Well, he's a viewer.
He's definitely a viewer.
He DMs us a lot. No, but we have jagged him for our Super Round Melbourne show.
So no, we Schmidt.
Have we?
Yeah.
Good.
You're kidding.
I'm not full of Schmidt, mate. We are.
We're having a schnitty with Schmidt.
So you boys are taking on the Crusaders down there, which is very exciting. We're going to be down there doing a show. You probably have to play and stuff, but if not, pop up for a beer.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, we're going to have Joe on the show, which is great. And we'll chat to him all things Wallabies and the future, which is very exciting. And not only that, you can sit with us on the Saturday in the Cocoa Bay. Tickets are just $27. Get online, go to Ticket Tech to get your tickets to sit in the Cocoa Bay. You can go on there and you can click and you can find us. $27 is very cheap. And you're wondering why I'm in this crazy get-up. Well, Okanui are providing some clothes for us to wear. We're going to be sitting in that bay for the Drua versus Moana Pacifica game. Lots of colour, lots of movement, lots of fun. If you get online and you go to Okanui and you use the code COCO20 at checkout, then you get a 20% discount and we get a little slice. Because Lord knows we need the cash. So get on, buy some of this stuff. It's fantastic. Look at the shorts. Look at the top. It's a lot of fun. Everybody happy with that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, are you still awake there, Goit?
Nailed it.
After that read, barely.
Okay.
No, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, Goit, we don't have long to go here. We're just doing a little thing here because what I would like to do is I'd like to get to know these Waratahs. Okay. You're the future of the game. And Australia's falling in love with rugby union again, courtesy of us and you. And so what I'd like to do, I'd like to do a little game that we're going to call, and don't make fun of me for looking through my sheets here, Goit, you can get fucked. The name of the game is the Coco Get to Know.
What about the Coco Get to No-No?
We can do that in post. It's called the Coco Get to No-No. So today, we're going to be getting to know you guys. Now, it's a very simple game.
Oh, it's full tilt. It's
you wait till you see how it's edited. It's grab your faces here. So the way this game works, it's like at a wedding where I'll ask you a question, and I think it's called the Mr. and Mrs. game at a wedding, and you've got to put up either your face, so either your face or the other bloke's face to say
is that,
who.
Is that fair dinkum?
I think that's true to size.
Yes, to scale.
We had to scale that down, actually. Prepare to get the graphics guy in.
Got your good jawline, Ferg. Look at this.
All right. So very simple, and I'll talk people through it. So if you're listening to this, it's absolute chaos, but I will talk you through which sign it is that the boys are holding up. All right. First question to Ned and Fergus. Who is the better player?
Been okay. Around the world.
Ferg. All right, off Ned's the got back Fergus fence up. Okay.
Oh, come on, boys.
Come on, boys.
All right, no more niceties.
Yeah. And obviously, Fergus is complete on his clutch, Ned. All right, Fergus, why is Ned a better player?
Oh, just experience, you know. Can't teach experience. Been around the block, you know.
Okay. Nice. I'm reading between the lines. He's old. I get it. Hey, all right, Ned, why is Fergus a better player?
Nah, just a tenacious player that I, you know, when he was over at the Force, I used to admire him just coming around the corner. He's the type of bloke that is just in it for the long haul, I reckon. Can't wait to be there with you, hopefully,
very
mate.
Nice. That's great. Who would win in a fight out of you two? Fair dinkum, come on, don't mess around.
Nah, got him.
Ned has held up Ned. And
what are these questions?
What do you mean? These
they
are important
questions.
They turn us
against each other, mate. They turn us against each other.
No, who would win in a fight? Are you going?
Nah, back
you're going
I'll back Ned myself.
Is, back yourself. Yeah. Okay, and
you gotta.
What if you had to describe your fighting styles? What are you?
Oh, just haymakers.
Haymakers.
If you're going into like a
308, the octagon, about 2 km away.
What's your style? Are you a street fighter?
No, yeah, just on a heel, hidden, bang. See you later.
On your heel?
No, on a heel, hidden.
Oh wow.
Just out the door, just pull the trigger, see you later. Yeah,
right.
I bugger this hand-to-hand stuff. Just plug him.
Oh, with a gun.
Yeah, I'm dead.
308, yeah.
Fuck, what do you mean?
I wouldn't even see it coming.
Yeah. Well, you'd shoot him.
No, I wouldn't. Of course
that's fantastic.
I wouldn't.
All right, who is more country?
We actually spoke about heap of fencing the other day.
Yeah, right. Bit of exclusion fencing.
Exclusion fencing. Yeah.
What? Keep the dingoes out at home.
Oh. We've got roos and stuff that you know we don't. Or sorry, foxes and pigs.
What's the farm are you on, Ned?
It's to be 200 square meters in the back of Ranwick. Got a few chooks.
And what are you
running?
Colour border collies.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Nah, I grew up. 50 k's north of Canamble, 60 k's north of Canamble. Yeah, and that's where mum and
hot
dad
off the
are.
Press.
How'd you go
with selling some cattle not so long ago? How'd you go? What was that? What's the story?
You
then?
Have been talking to someone, like who are you sending stuff out? Yeah, the old bloke had 59 heifers.
PDIC.
Yeah. Auctions Plus had them there. They were on the box on Friday, last Friday. So, yeah.
Yeah, right, okay.
Went all right.
Nothing there? Nothing else?
Nah, I reckon that's about it.
Okay.
What do you got, Swoop?
Yeah.
Was one of
what's
them a
heifer?
Hey?
A heifer's
what's a heifer?
It's a lady.
Yeah. I didn't understand a fucking word.
Female.
Female hasn't had a calf.
Yep. Hasn't had its first bit calf. Of
old bull, young bull there.
Oh, so yeah. Like a virgin cow.
That's it.
Right.
Who is more like Swoop? So goes out, has an alter ego, parties hard, doesn't get home until 6 a.m., tries to get into bed with you. So you have to separate the beds. Who's more like Swoop?
Solid piece. That'd be Fergalicious.
Ferg. Yeah, I'll go Ferg. Is that?
Yep.
Yeah, Ferg.
Ferg. Okay. Ferg, nice. Who's more like Goit? Leaves a night out at 10 p.m. because he has a 7 a.m. Bronco penciled in. Ned, very good. Finally, who's more like Biv? Argues with coaches, gets into legal stashes with former employees, sleeps in hallways in random sleeping bags, tells Welshmen to fuck off on the streets. All right, you like Biv?
No comment. Any of you guys shit likes?
Oh, boy.
Oh, all right, that was the Coco Get to Know. I don't know if it worked.
Thanks very much for that segment. Yeah.
Pretty great. Hard. Thanks for coming on, boys, I guess. Now, does anybody else have anything for Ned or Fergus before we let you go, or is there anything you guys want to say?
No, I think... So this pod's going to come out on Tuesday. You know, it gives us a good sort of 4 or 5 days lead up to your big game against the Queensland Reds. If you guys get selected, give us one bloke out of the Reds that you're going to target so we can watch for it.
Probably will, so...
Harry Wilson?
Harry Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
He sort of leads their team around, so I need to chop him down a few pegs.
What about you, Ned?
Yeah, we'll go Wilson.
Oh, double team.
Just double team him. The best kind.
Stand over him.
One low, one high, into it.
Any blue heeler? Any chance for a bit of a scrap?
Cattle dog? You never know.
Geez, we're getting strife for that these days.
Yeah, but fucking...
Like if you throw one little quick uppercut or an elbow to the throat or something.
You'd get in strife if you shot him on the hill.
We're not doing that. None of that.
You're good at that.
Jersey punching.
Yeah, you know.
I'll rev Swinner up. He'll throw a haymaker or something.
Don't rev Swinner up. Cut what happens when Swinner gets revved up. You get 16 weeks.
What do you get for an open hand slap? How much?
I think it's play on.
Play on.
Yeah.
There you go, boys.
Drew loves an open hand. What about a karate chop?
To the jugular.
Yeah.
And Drew loves the karate.
Give it a go against the Reds. We'll be watching.
Yeah, you'll see it off the back fence, leave the ground.
You're going to go,
hi-ya. I think whoever you hit it, just laugh and you'd walk out. It's all pinky.
Can't have it, sir.
Hey, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us as our first studio guest on the KK Show. Big round of applause, studio audience. Thousands.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks for coming in, boys.
Thanks for coming in. Let's get into that. Where can you find us? At Kickoffs and Kickons is the name of the show. We are available everywhere. Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, X, the whole lot. Make sure you follow us. And also anywhere you get your podcast from, Spotify, Apple, there's a bunch of other ones. Make sure you like and subscribe.
Mm.
Click like and subscribe, because I know a lot of you are watching. There's lots of people watching, but you're not clicking like and subscribe, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my bloody heart. Also, we were thinking of a bit of a challenge if we get to 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. Something that we'll do, Drew.
Which I think we're at, 4,700 or something. 4,000. So it's a long way off.
It is. So if we get to there by the Super Rugby final, then we've got to do something. People can vote. So I think, what were you going to, Drew? Were you going to... You'll do an episode nude?
Naked sure.
Scrum?
Yeah, no, I'll do an episode nude if we hit 50,000 subscribers by Super Rugby.
That's final. Good. And what were you going to do, Sweep, if we get to 50,000 by...
I won't be doing anything nude.
No.
Prof, just tell me what I'm doing, mate.
I don't remember. What did we come up with for Sweep?
Oh, yeah. Adam Ashley Cooper Coco.
Oh, that's right.
You got to change your name legally.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Triple barrel. So, yeah, Adam
Ashley
Cooper
Coco. It's actually not that difficult to change your name.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that.
If you guys pay for it, I'm happy to add another name to the core. I feel like there'd be a bit
in that. Like courts.
It's actually not bad.
Just a visit to the RMS. Yeah. Take you 2 days.
That's right. Straight in. Fill in some documentation.
What about a tattoo for someone?
So, Gitz, you're going to have to get a Coco tattoo. If we hit 50,000,
yep.
On you,
I'd prefer to sit on your lap, Drew.
Whilst you're getting tattooed,
yeah, I'm happy with that. Where am I getting it tattooed? Do I get to choose?
No, it's on your neck.
aggressive.
Just up the top.
And the prof,
yeah,
you, well, all expenses no. paid trip to Turkey, and you've got to get hair plugs.
Yeah, I'm going
to
get hair plugs. Oh, boy. I'm going to get a new mop on top. But you have to hit like and subscribe. See what we do this show, boys.
Is genuine? Is that what, well, is that what we're doing?
Magic place.
I'm prepared. But there was fine text. We're only going to give you the hair plugs for what Goyd is rocking now. The Chuck Liddell.
The Chuck Liddell. The Chuck Jattel. All right. Hey, guys, that was the show. But before we go, there was one last thing, Drew, that we wanted to chat on. There is a GoFundMe page going on at the moment for a young man named Jack. Unfortunately, Jack, he's suffering from a type of cancer called neuroblastoma, and he needs $500,000 for treatment. The page is currently up to $190,000. So there is a long way to go. They're doing amazing things so far, but they need that extra $310,000. So if you enjoyed this show today, if you thought, geez, I enjoyed that, please do us a favor and donate some money to Jack. We will do the link in the YouTube page and also the podcast page, the GoFundMe that you can click on to go and donate to Jack. Now, they came to you, didn't they, Drew?
Yeah, a few people have reached out just to see if we could get around young Jack. Obviously, he and his family are going through a very difficult time at the moment. So the $500,000, my understanding is that it's for treatment, and that's only available in the USA. It's not available here in Australia for another couple of years, and the family don't want to obviously run that risk for waiting for 2 years. So as a rugby community, let's just get around little Jack. Just part with whatever you can, a dollar or anything is obviously going to be more than welcomed and appreciated. So yeah, let's do what we can to get around little Jack and give him the treatment that that he needs, so then he can be back on his feet and fighting.
Absolutely. So that was the Coco Show. That was Kickoffs and Kick-Ons. Gits, I believe you're returning to us on Wednesday. Is that right?
Yes. Can't wait. Can't wait to give you all a hug.
Fantastic. Very good. Exciting. Hey, gentlemen, good luck against the Reds on the weekend. We'll all be watching as you, I guess, you fold Harry Wilson. Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah. Like Volkanovski.
Just give him one. Bang.
Right. Yeah.
Swoop, Biv, always a pleasure. That was the show. Hey, Biv, sign us off.
Sure.
Yeah. Make it really clear
for
him.
Give us one.
Make it really clear.
Coco!
I'm saying this is what I'm going to say.
Anyway, that's enough.
G'day. I hope you enjoyed that video. There's lots more here on our YouTube page. If you did enjoy it, make sure you click like. And if you super enjoyed it, make sure you click subscribe. That's how we get lots of views. Lots of, that's how we hopefully get a sponsor. So make sure you click those two buttons and just have a bloody good day.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.